Hi, friends. Hey, so we're really grateful to all of you because during this crazy time, we're actually able to keep doing the show because of listeners like you, especially now that we're getting ready to do the Max Fun Drive. And I guess I want to be specific. I mean, during quarantine, I don't want to be like those like weird nebulous commercials that are like, everything is really hard right now during this hard time. So, you know, it would make it easier, a blender. So we want to thank you all so much for your continued support right now, because we know that things are difficult for everyone. And so we are doing our drive right now, just to remind you all that you're the reason why that we get to make this content for, if you are able to contribute, you can choose a monthly amount that is comfortable for you. Most people give like $5 a month, $10 a month, some upgrade to 20, 35, or even $100 a month or more. It's really all about what works for you. And so the way that works is you go to the website, you upgrade, and then you make sure that you check Tights and Bites. I was thinking about shakes. Make sure that you check Tights and Fights as one of the shows that you listen to and want to put your support with. So thank you all so much again for supporting us. And here's the show.
Tights and Bites podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy Mike Eagle is there as well. Tights and Bites podcast. Tights and Bites.
Fight.
Wait, hold on.
Fight in a bayou. Fight in a bayou.
Oh, that was it, though.
And let me put that away. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm for your love, for your praise. I'll love you till my die. Oh, wait. I'm for your love, for your praise, and I'll love you till my dying days. Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation. In New York, you can be a new Dan, Danielle Radford.
Oh, I like it.
And
New York.
And there's one in a million things she hasn't done. So just you wait. What's her name, man? Lindsay Kelk. Oh.
Now that's gonna, song's going to be in my head forever, ever and ever and ever, and that's fine.
I mean, you
well, I'm going to have to watch
Kelk
it again now. That's the thing, because you have to watch it all the way through. Once you get one of the songs in your head, you have to watch it all the way through.
That's we right. Didn't even do our watch through because we've been so busy, especially Kelk. We'll talk about it later. She's busy being very successful. Aww,
that's right.
Okay. I mean, I watched it so many times that I'm pretty sure Disney Plus is going to cut me off soon. So
yeah, yeah, I've almost reached my limit.
Oh, but it's so glorious. I'm so pleased that you've brought that joy into your life, Julian. Wrestling and Hamilton, it's all we need.
That's right. Well, we only need one of those things. We're going to be talking about the worst of WWE's Extreme Rules horror show a little later on. But let's start
positive
with something
attitudes.
That, yeah, we're going to start with something that was good on the show, which is Sasha, quote unquote, pinning Asuka. And now claiming to be the Raw Women's Champion, despite the fact that Bayley was the one who counted to three. I love the match. I love the finish. The ref gets blinded by the mist. So instead of trying to get the ref together after of course, they knock out Asuka, the classic spot, Bayley just takes the shirt off of the guy, puts it on herself, and counts to three.
What? Ripping the shirt off the official. What is going on?
Bayley, I believe that's sanctionable.
Are you kidding me?
She's in an official referee uniform.
He's not an official referee, Joe. What are you talking about?
You gotta be kidding me. Banks is crawling under the cover.
No! What?
That's amazing. I'm sorry. That's
so
fucking funny.
Mad.
That's like the funniest thing
it's
in the world.
So good. Mad. And I thought it was fun.
That's what heels do.
Yeah,
you dumb
I think
fucks.
There was so. I just saw so much anger about that finish online, because it was like they were having an amazing match and then they screwed it with a silly finish. I haven't seen a woman do that before. It was super fun.
Yep.
Totally played into everyone's character, And it geared us up to watch that match another 7,000 times, which I would like to do.
And I get it. Look, here's the thing. I think it's just like I am at the point where I have let go and let God, because I used to very much be like, well, I just want to see the match end and be the match, and I don't want to see shenanigans and blah, blah, blah. And I know because there's a lot of shenanigans and there aren't as many pure matches. But now I've decided to just every pure match that ends in a pure way, I'm just going to let that be an angel baby and be like, hey, we got like something good and pure and good. And now just let go and admit that every match, especially women's matches, look, if they don't end in a lazy fucking distraction roll up, I'm happy at this point.
I have terrible news for the people that want pure clean finishes for all their matches is that those match finishes have also been predetermined just as much as the screwy finishes. So I say lean into the screwy if it's done well and it's executed in a way that doesn't make me want to get up and leave the room, which is usually just vomit and eye gouging, and I think I'm down with it, and I thought it was fun, and I can't wait for part two.
Yeah, the story is,
I can't wait for part seven. I'm probably going to be done by part 8.
Yeah, the story is really in that match is not that Bayley put a shirt on. It's that she went and helped her friend. That she was cheating to help her friend. I feel like if they split them up now, I'd be dissatisfied as a fan. Yeah. I think it's got further to go. They haven't reached the top to fall down yet. This is a good step in getting there, and it I thought it was really entertaining, and it worked within like all the character stuff worked for all four women. They all looked really good. And if you look at it as an entire story, I think it works.
Yeah, you could ride this coaster all the way to the Rumble if you needed to, you know? Like, it's 6 months now. We have that's no time in our current time paradox, where time is 1,000 years long and 1 minute.
That's right. Monday night, we saw the return of Mustafa Ali tagging along with Cedric Alexander and Ricochet in a new stable that I can only imagine would be called Small Mobile Guys Who Will Never Get a Chance. And it was nice.
It was very good, very accurate.
Yeah, it was nice to see him return. Yeah. I like all three guys in terms of their in-ring output.
Yeah.
I don't know that any of them are ever going to be used to my satisfaction.
I'm trying to have a very up week. I want to be excited.
There it goes.
Okay.
So, yay. And, I mean, that was really good.
I like that for you.
They had a really good reaction online to his return, which is great. Hopefully some people bought some t-shirts, so Vince paid attention. That's how I feel.
Well, great. Speaking of which, it's time for our segment that's been gone for a week or two, but now has returned, where Lindsay breaks down all of the action in the women's division in AEW.
Let's do it!
I think there is some silver lining here, but I see your face, and you're wearing a grumpy bear pajamas. Maybe you should pull the hood up for this?
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. It's going up. Okay.
Okay. Oh, okay, there it is.
Up. Yeah, it's up. I love
this so much. Oh, full
You should
hoods
be wearing
up.
That all the time, everywhere.
And also, it never sounds right, by the way, when you say hoods up. We should
probably put it. Fair. Although, if we replace those hoods with Grumpy Bear onesies, maybe we could figure some stuff out. Like, you know? AEW Women's Wrestling! And I guess the big news right now is that they have announced a women's tag tournament for the summer, which one can't help but feel, I say, is somewhat to do with the fact that Brandi is in a tag team now. I don't know. That was my first reaction. I was like, Brandi's in a tag now? Let's give her a thing. Because no one else is really in a tag, and they don't really have enough women for a tag division, because they haven't sorted out...
They haven't been doing any tag stuff, have they?
Out the women's single division yet. So why would you rush headfirst into a tag tournament that we don't even know... It's not for a belt, right? They haven't said it's for a belt.
Eight teams, 16 women.
And it was just
women.
Kind of dropped in before a break, but it was like, oh, well, back with some tag information for the women. It was like, wait, what? And then it was like, yep, no, here's a little teaser. We can't tell you who those women are because we don't know, because we haven't hired them. We got a great match between Eva Lise and Diamante that lasted about 10 seconds. Great. They were both great. I feel like perhaps they could have suggested they differ up their looks a little bit, but then I'm like, maybe they're just going to tease the fact that they're going to be a tag team. They did tease a couple of times. They were like, they've worked together. They've fought each other before. So you're like, okay, they're going to be a tag. That's what you're doing here.
Right.
But if that's the case, wouldn't it have been awesome if instead of just doing your little video, someone had come out from the company to speak about the tag tournament and make it seem very important and exciting, even if it was Tony Khan? It's the thing that's happening. Let's see where it goes.
We'll see. A couple of other things from AEW to touch on. Number one, the show opened with Cody answering a challenge from Eddie Kingston, who I was not familiar with before, but is like if Ryback and Taz had a baby and he took the best parts of each one. he was great.
Lovely
his
eyes.
Pre-match promo was so good. Yes. I was immediately invested in his character.
You know what I grew up around? Alcoholics. Junkies. I grew up around that. And I had to survive. I had to grind. You couldn't last a day in my shoes. So you don't tell me nothing about grinding. You talk about the sport of pro wrestling? That's a joke. Because every person you faced has been a child. I am a grown-ass man. And I will put you in the ground and smile.
He worked real well. You could tell he's an indie guy because thumbtacks came out. And
you could tell he's an indie guy. You could tell that Vince made reference to Blood and Guts on his last investors call again. And you could tell that Cody wanted to win the overnights again. That's what you could tell from thumbtacks.
I enjoyed the Taz Brian Cage promo segment. Taz is such a good man. He's so good on the mic.
And Brian Cage, like, I didn't think that he was going to be as good on the mic as he is, honestly.
Yeah, he's great.
Because I've heard him on the mic, and he's obviously, like, done the work. It also probably helps that he is, he has an entanglement with one of the best announcers ever who needs to get more work and more love, Melissa. So I'm sure that helps as well, but he's really been putting in the work, and you can see it.
I just still think he looks like a nice dude. Like, I know that they're trying to build him up as this monster that Taz is having to restrain, and like,
he's so sweet. Like, I love him so much.
He's definitely going to take you and your friends to mini golf this weekend.
He puts out coasters for guests.
Oh, 100%. He has special ones for guests too.
Drink tags.
He has wine chains, where it's like, hey, put your wine, put your wine charm around, so you know it's you. And Hal, I know that you're from Pittsburgh. I know how much you love the Phillies. So I got you a Phillies wine, and it'll be here for you every time you come over, because I know you're coming over more often.
Why would you say Pittsburgh? Why would you do that?
Because it's funny.
Are you just mad because your new NHL team has a dumb name and a weird logo?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I saw that logo with googly eyes on it, and it made me love it even more.
I hate it so much.
Because it looks like the Philly Fanatic, the greatest mascot at all sports. There's no arguing it. And followed by Gritty. Philadelphia owns all the great mascots.
Gritty is so good. I'm so excited.
Can we get Gritty on the show, Julian? Can we get Gritty on as a guest?
We have to get Gritty on the show.
Get us Gritty.
Get us Gritty, Julian.
A one-time special video engagements.
No, audio only. Gritty's audio only.
I just want to poke his belly
button.
Gritty
is around.
It looks like a cinnamon bun.
Yeah, for all anybody knows, he's here right now.
Yeah, Gritty is gettable.
A couple other things from AEW. One is the Bucks versus Butcher and Blade in a match
that some of us liked
and some of us thought was a mess of people waiting around to do spots that are very impressive because they're all good at what they do, but when the blade's the smaller one, right?
Who knows?
Sure.
It's the smaller one. They both look like Mr. Clean.
When the smaller one went over to the escalators, like he was trying to escape, and then looked to make sure he wasn't on the part that was moving, and then sat there for a little while until they came over and gave him a super kick onto the stairs so he could look cool going up it.
That was where I was like, oh, that's, have we watched? I've seen so many ladder matches where people can't climb ladders in a timely fashion, which is a skill you learn as a very small child.
The suitcase.
I didn't struggle so much to leave my disbelief behind on that one because it was fun and a bunch of fun spots. And I was slightly worried that people had died at the end.
It wasn't the suspension of disbelief. It was just like the flow of it, when the flow feels broken up and it doesn't feel like it's about anything other than now we're going to do this cool thing, now we're going to do that cool thing. Like, it does it, and there are no ladder matches. I know they're going to build stuff out of the ladders. It's going to make no sense. The good ones, the ones you remember, have stories behind them.
It's their inability to climb the ladder in a timely fashion. That's what really upsets me. Yeah, no, my cats are going to fight, and that, you're going to hear it.
Are they going to do the thing where they're on the hind legs?
What did Anderson do? I blame Anderson.
Belle was asleep on the bed, and Anderson literally just went up to him, punched her in the face, and bit her butt, and now they've gone. They've gone to fight. They've left the room.
Cats.
Yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. I know I'm someone who's going to give the Bucks, I'm someone that's going to give the Bucks, like, a lot of rope to not hang themselves with, but possibly just lightly injure themselves. And with that in mind, like, I think it's hard to do those spots on a live show. Like, I do.
And that is a directing thing. That's not, like, it all comes together to teamwork makes the dream work. So, but I do think because they ultimately are the ones in the company, aside from the camera people and the other wrestlers they work with and the director, like, they are the ones who, if this company succeeds, they are positioned to get the most out of it. They have to be the ones who take the blame and accept the blame and say, like, we have to figure out a way to do this better. Hal, I said you were right. Smile.
I agree. I think ultimately I've enjoyed some of their matches, and I, again, recognize their talent. I just have, I have more investment. I was invested in MJF the second I saw him because I knew who his character was, and he played it so well that everything he did in the ring, as long as he wasn't terrible, was just going to plus that. I like characters first.
I feel like...
I'm like USA.
All right, USA.
Characters are welcome.
Except Jinx, I owe myself a Coke. Series, which have all been canceled. I feel like once they get into a feud with FTR, once the belts are involved, we'll see a lot more strong character development. But until then, they need to pull their finger out.
Because FTR have such, like, they... It, which is funny because I know that that's, like, one of the complaints people have against them. But I'm sorry. Like, if you go and look, they have such complete, like, characters. They are, like, you... They're not just like, you know, I know their joke is like, hey, fists, not flips and blah, blah, blah. But no, like, they're pretty distinct characters. Like, they did work on it, you know, butthole scoots aside. They do
have characterization. They even did the butthole scoots. I mean, come on.
I'm still angry about that. I will never not be angry about butthole scoots.
They did it, and they made it watchable. So good for them.
I'm still so upset about butthole scoots.
I want to move on to NXT. I don't want to give Sammy Guevara any oxygen. Not yet. On NXT, Keith Lee opened the show by relinquishing his North American title for the purpose of creating opportunity for other wrestlers, because he's someone who's taken advantage of opportunities throughout his career. I like the promo. I get it, and I'm glad. I think the fallout of it and the matches we got were very good. I just hate that idea of somebody being a double champion and that meaning something, and then they just relinquish one of the titles because it automatically makes that title less important. We all know it's not the championship, but at the same time, why could you not have had Adam Cole cost him that belt on the road to their match as a way to heat up their rivalry? Keith Lee, I know, doesn't take L's really. Like, that's kind of the thing right now.
I think that's part of it.
It makes the belt look weak, and I think that it's, I'm sorry, hardcore super weird for Keith Lee to be like, oh, I'm just such a good guy, but I guess I'm just going to give up my belt so that other people can have... What? So, no, that's dumb!
I don't think it's that weird with what... I mean, I don't love it, but I didn't find it weird in what they're doing with his character, where they're making him this very generous, decent, offer my first title opportunity to my greatest rival and friend. You know, like, they're trying to position him as this very magnanimous... generous guy, gregarious guy who's like, yes, everyone is welcome and everyone deserves opportunity and I don't need to have two belts because I'm so great. And who would give up two belts when you could tap your own titles? That's ridiculous. But I did think it was in keeping with what they're doing with him, whether or not I agreed with it. And it does... I don't mind a vacate a championship because it gives us a fun opportunity to fill it again. And I love... Baby loves the tournament. Baby loves the title tournament.
And a ladder match.
Baby loves a ladder match when they climb that ladder in a timely fashion. So
now,
so you never love ladder matches.
I've loved like three of them.
Before we get to the break, I want to talk about the main event of the show, which is a match between Dominik Dijakovic and Karrion Kross, which was a great match. I really, really enjoyed the match throughout. But I thought that the finish of that match was one of the best pieces of character development, storytelling, and storyline furthering that I've seen in a very, very long time.
It's the most I've cared about Dijakovic.
And the most I've cared about Karrion Kross. So, yeah. Win-win. Like, well played, people.
That entire moment of Keith Lee wanting to come in the ring and being waved off by Dijakovic, who's getting pounded in the head repeatedly, and saying, it's on me, it's on me, and waving him off, was so great. And so Keith Lee had to sit there and watch Karrion Kross pick apart his frenemy. By the way, I didn't realize that Karrion Kross and Scarlett were dating in real life. They're my new favorite power couple.
And she's a musical theater major, so...
I know, it's like my favorite.
She should come on and do Hamilton covers with us. But she should do that, yeah. But she could also speed up the entrance with the Philly thing, and I could do without that. Yeah. But, you know.
But I just thought that was a great moment, really great storytelling. Mm-hmm. When it comes to storytelling, by and large, NXT is running circles around every other American wrestling company that I have watched. I know that I'm sure people will come up with a ton of things that they love. I'm sure I know New Japan does like 12-year-long stories, which is pretty amazing. I love that.
But this is a 2-week-long story from NXT, and it was very exciting to see.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, last week he fought Dominik Dijakovic and they almost went right to the edge of each other's abilities. They didn't, but that was the story. And then this week this guy came in and decimated Dijakovic, which means he could decimate Keith Lee, which makes means he's a real competitor, which means he has no mercy and no remorse, and he just wants to rip apart and murder people. And now I'm like, ooh. Whereas before... Mm-hmm.
What does the edge of one's abilities mean?
He's Drago.
You would need to look that up on the internet.
He's Drago.
I, again, am just saying things. So I did enjoy it more than I thought I would and more than I wanted to, because I have taken against Karrion Kross for reasons of nothing to do with him, and I don't even know myself. But I've really taken against him, and yet now I am invested, so congratulations.
Oh, I know why. We've talked about it.
Well, I don't like the silly burlesque entrance, but that's just me.
If you have anything to say about what we've discussed so far, including drones with guns, the conversation continues on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Discord. Links to those, of course, are in our show notes. When we come back, we'll talk about some actual wrestling, huh? That's up next on Tights and Fights. It is Max Fun Drive Time. You heard Danielle at the beginning of the show. And while that is about you supporting the shows and artists whose work you enjoy, it's also very much about you and what Maximum Fun means to you, what the shows that you listen to mean to you. Cash X on Twitter said, it's Max Fun Drive. It was important to me to upgrade my membership this year because podcasts, Max Fun shows especially, really got me through when anxiety hit me real hard. This is a very weird time. This is unprecedented for our generation and the generations on either side of us. And there are so many people out there who tell us that they value our work and the work of the other shows on Max Fun, particularly during a time where we can't see each other face to face. It gives you a little time to feel like you're in the room with us. And we've all been struggling, but having familiar voices to make us laugh, think, interact, and feel normal is very important to all of us. And if that description fits you and you're able to join and become a member at this time, I encourage you to do so right now.
Membership at Max Fun starts at just $5 a month. I said bucks because I'm American now. So I can do that. It took me a real long time to get comfortable with using that, you guys, because it always felt silly. And the $5 a month gets you a ton of bonus content. Bonus content from across the Max Fun library. You can listen to Hal's other podcasts' bonus content. Oh, hello. You can listen to the JV Club's other content. Oh, hello. We've all been on these shows. It's a very exciting time. You should definitely do that. Mm-hmm. And you get to listen to our very, very, very special episode of Tapping Titles, which might be my favorite thing we've ever recorded. And you'll be able to access that for as long as you are a member. There's a whole lot of it waiting for you right now.
And Lindsay, I'm just glad you didn't say quid.
Well, it could have happened. The only thing I'm asking you to remember when you are on MaximumFun.org/join is to tick the box that says Tights and Fights. That will make sure that a portion of your monthly recurring donation comes directly to us. And it means that we can keep making this pod just for you.
And so if you want to support like just a little bit extra, you're not able to upgrade right now, we totally understand. You can check out boosting your membership by an amount between levels. So it doesn't qualify for gifts. It does directly support the show. So if you want to say like, hey, you know, I can't necessarily go up to X number, but I can do like, you know, I can't go up to a 20, but maybe I can do like a 16, a 17, an 18. You can do that by boosting.
And we want to send a special thank you to everybody who's in healthcare, retail, and other essential jobs right now. We are thinking about you a lot and so grateful for the work that you do. And we hope that Tights and Fights is providing you with some sort of distraction and helping you through that. Just know, if we weren't before, now we're going to do it. And that's our way to support you for the work that you're continuing to do during a very difficult time. Thank you so much. And now, let's get back to the show.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk.
This week, we're going to give one corner of the wrestling world some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock! Whoa! Holy shit!
Since the pandemic shut everything down and WWE decided that pre-taped matches and wrestling mini-movies were a viable form of pay-per-view entertainment, it started out great. But now, we had Sunday. Let's start with the eye for an eye match between Rey Mysterio and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And I'm only going to say this because you wrote it in, and I know you'd be sad if I didn't because you're a big Rey Mysterio fan. Booyaka, booyaka, 6-1 eye. I guess I should have started the show with that, but you put that in here.
Should have moved it up, Julian. You did that to you. No one did that to you but you.
Listen, AEW, I have a huge problem. Every time I see somebody getting hit in the head with a chair, I say,
oh,
must
I
you?
Hate it.
Must
yeah.
you do that? Is this really a differentiator for you that you bleed all the time and hit each other in the head like morons? Can't be. Then I shift over to this match. If it had been just a regular hardcore match, probably would have been fine. And yet, this idea that they just had to take each other's eye out and then Seth Rollins vomiting at the end.
Nope,
I can't.
No,
I
no,
can't.
Spot,
no.
It was a puke spot that lost me. The eye match, the eye spot, I just thought was dumb. Because I don't know why I kept thinking about it from like a straight headline perspective where it's like coworker gouges out colleague's eye on workplace entrance. Like, I'm like, what is this? Like, this is... And also I thought you had to take the eye out, and realistically all he did was possibly push the eye in. That I don't think he won. Like, I think it said take the eye out.
Well, did you guys hear what the original plan was? Because apparently...
Yes, there was supposed to be CGI eyes.
Yeah.
Eyeballs hanging out.
There's a cut somewhere out there that exists of Rey Mysterio's
eyeball cut.
Release the eyeball cut!
But seriously.
Apparently it made Vince McMahon has limits and he said no. So.
Because it's disgusting. Because it's fucking gross.
Instead he just had Seth puke up a mouthful of vegetable soup that someone handed him from
so
under
gross.
The ring.
I'm sorry. Like, puke, movies... In movies, it loses me in any, like, I don't...
It's gross, because puking is gross. I hated it. I hated it. I thought the ending was dumb. He just did what he did last time.
I'm sitting there watching it, and all I can think in my head is, I never asked for this. I don't want this.
I don't want this.
I know. And it's weird, because it crosses a different line. I was trying to work it out. If WWE is trying to be sort of more of a family-friendly option and AEW is trying to be for the boys. You know, it's for the boys. Like, why would they do this instead of things like hardcore matches and thumbtack spots and all that stuff? And I was like, I guess because this feels so far-fetched, you know it's not real. And the little kids that are watching it are like, oh my God, he poked that guy's eye out. But the rest of us are like, well... That's not real, so it's fine. We get it.
Right.
Whereas the thumbtack match makes everyone go, oh, no.
Well, because it's actual, gross. Like, those are... And you're right, I think that is a good point, where it's like, something like this is so big and so ridiculous. We're like, well, this isn't fucking real. We know this is bad. We don't like it, but we know it's fake. And a thumbtack is like, well, no, those are actual thumbtacks. These men have just trained themselves that they love money more than they love not being stuffed with thumbtacks.
But the eye was not for me. The eye was not.
I don't know. Also,
yeah, you said it was coming out, and it didn't come out. I felt both sickened and mildly disappointed, and they are two of my least favorite feelings to feel. And then the puke, absolutely not.
Both not given the thing that I was told, and then also grateful that I didn't get the thing I was told is not a good feeling for wrestling.
Something I feel like we're very familiar with in our real lives. But not what I want to see in my escapism.
Yeah, not my thing. I because that's exactly how I felt. I was like, I'm happy this isn't what I was promised, but also it's not what I was promised. And I feel like those two emotions are not something you should feel in your entertainment.
I know Jericho's like, you're welcome for the eye for an eye match. I'm like, I didn't ask for it on your fucking show either. Don't pull me over to Wednesday nights, Jericho. Where I have to watch people poke each other in the eye. Like, no. That doesn't add anything for me.
It doesn't add anything.
It just looks like, well, this was an accident. This happened. Yeah. Now I'm gonna use my keys to take your eye out. You're doing this to my eyes. And everybody's got eye patches and a whole bunch of pirates. No.
I'm so concerned about how many children have been at home for the last 5 months. And are like, you know what we should do? We should do an eye for an eye match. And I know we do the don't try this at home. But that's like power slams and tombstones. We need to remind them that they also should not be doing poking each other's eyes out because it's not cute. It's not cute.
And nobody wants it.
Nobody wants it. Your mom doesn't want it. Your dad doesn't want it. Your sibling doesn't want it. You don't want to live with that guilt of poking out the eye. And I just don't want to see it. I just wasn't sure who it was for. That was the thing.
Because yeah,
I
who's
get
it for?
AEW. Like I say, I know who AEW is for. It is not for me. They are doing it. It is for their boys. It is for the people who miss that era of wrestling, and no matter what they tell me, I now know by their actions that that is true. With the eye for an eye match, I don't know who it was for. Becky's baby's gotta see that match one day, and Becky's baby's gonna be like, daddy, what's this about? Did you puke on TV?
He's gonna
I imagine
puke.
Daddy's response will be, well, your godfather Vince, who was not Becky's choice, insisted that Daddy puke on TV, so daddy did as he was told. God.
You mean that guy fucking... who never returns your phone calls but always returns mommy's?
That guy. Fuck. That
Darren Drozdoff. I'm sorry. Now all I can think of is Darren Drozdoff and Beyond the Mat. And that whole thing of calling it puke. But then at the end when he picks it, like, I guess there's just one more thing. And he pulls up his trash can and tries to get him to throw up. And then he can't. He's not able to puke on command. If only he'd known Seth Rollins' secret.
Fucking right. Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, you can do anything. I didn't look again because I was going to see at what point a ref tossed him. As Lindsay said, could only have been a soup can. I was going to see that, but that would have involved me looking at the puke again. So I didn't.
All right, let's move on to the swamp fight match between Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt. Who won?
I don't know.
Who cares?
I had so many feelings.
I'm the winner. So who cares? Feelings. I won.
Was it for a belt?
Who cares?
I don't know. Because I don't know who won and I don't know what happened. And at one point, I was live tweeting this match because I was so confused. I thought it would help me make more sense of it, and it didn't. Because I'm like, he's got him tied to a chair. Surely he wins. Surely he wins. And it's like, no, because he's not tied to a chair anymore. I was like, oh, okay. Well, that seems like an oversight on Bray's part, but he's wacky like that. Let's see where this goes. And then maybe it was a toss a guy off a pier match. Because then that happened, and then it seemed like it had ended because the logo came up, but then it hadn't ended because that's a thing that they do now. And then he was in a boat, and then I had to assume it was Skarsgård, the dilapidated boat from the Broken Universe.
Yeah, that made me a little sad.
And then
he also kept having to wrestle those two guys from the lynch mob in Django Unchained. Who have the eye holes that don't fit properly.
Well, they haven't had a lot of work to do in a while. Like, they haven't been working. They weren't in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like, they didn't have anything to do. It was very confusing. And then they were in the boat. And then they were in the lake. And then they were both in the lake.
Alexa was there.
And then Alexa was there. I liked the Alexa part. I did enjoy the Alexa part because I'm like, this part is long-term storytelling.
That was the only part.
Yeah, it was the only good part because she is a great performer. I'm not against it as a concept. I just wanted to know
what happens when they try to do that kind of spot, but they don't have fucking Reeby to do the directing for them. That's what happens. Like, you try to do that kind of wacky thing, and you don't have the lady who directs those wacky things for you. And again, it's, look, I go on this hill all the time. I think that Reeby is, I'm sorry, an understated fucking genius. I think that no one understands how much work that she does for the stuff that we love that works. And I think a lot of people write her off as Matt Hardy's wife, and I think that we do a huge disservice. And I think that this is a huge point because she, you know, at TNA, she directed all that shit. That was all her. It was all her brain. And when they would do it in other places, that was all her. And I believe that she was also allowed to do a lot of the directing for those spots when Matt Hardy was there. And now that he's gone and they try to do this weird stuff, it just not...
It just seems like a very long, protracted way for the resurrection of the Fiend. When the Fiend hasn't really been gone that long.
And also,
you know, I'm like, he's only been gone a minute.
We all know he's coming back. Give it a fucking year, man.
I have to agree to disagree on the Brooke and Matt Hardy stuff, but day one did not care for it. I will say that, we talked about this post-WrestleMania, that the Firefly Funhouse match was to me... And it seemed like you agreed at the time, the elevated version of Broken Matt Hardy crawled so that the Firefly Funhouse match could fly. And then this shit, which is not what made the other match so great. So why take a step back to the match you did with the New Day where they had to go to the
compound. It felt like the New Day
and the Randy Orton match with the dollies in the fridge and the dolly
could have been really fucking good if it was like
I've taken from all of this is that perhaps John Cena is a genius and like was running the show on the Firefly Funhouse match, because what was great about it was the investigating John's psyche, like it was the delving into John's psyche, right? That's what was great about it.
The fact that
he was prepared to put his ego aside and have himself and his career taken apart piece by piece.
Yep.
And I am now thinking perhaps he was very, very instrumental as opposed to just being willing. And I'm also thinking some of the people they fired should get their jobs back.
Yeah, they should get their jobs back because they were probably very good at this stuff. Yeah, they should probably hire back that really smart lady who we now know did all of the smart lady stuff that made a lot of the stuff that we like for.
Yeah, I like that lady.
Probably.
That lady who made me care about Mandy and Otis. Get that lady back.
Yeah, they should probably go ahead and take her off furlough.
Yeah,
but it seems like...
It just... Firefly Funhouse was so layered and fascinating, and you could watch it over and over and get different stuff out of it, and you also knew the reason for it, and you knew where it was going, and you knew its intention. And with this match, it just felt directionless. It felt like doing it for the sake of doing it, and in storytelling we all know doing it for the sake of doing it and not having a strong direction for your story, not having purpose for your story, will be a downfall. And the John Cena story had so much purpose and intention. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was missing here.
I want to see what the cards on the wall for that look like. For those of you who create things and write things, you know that like you have a bunch of cards you put on the wall.
There was a cocktail napkin in an airport bar that had been scribbled on with a crayon. Like, that's what that was.
Well, the cards, there were a bunch of cards. I actually got to see a behind-the-scenes photo of the creative process for that. One card said, "We tie him to a chair." Another card said, "He drives in his pickup truck with a hat on, like he's just going out to get a cup of coffee." Then a third one was two muscular guys that look like Jason in Friday the 13th Part 2 keep attacking him and are not good at it at all. And then number three was, what if he had a storage container? And that's it.
No, there was a number four that just said, Alexa, question mark.
Alexa. Oh, yeah.
That was
Alexa.
It. Just Alexa, question mark. That was, that
is
was what it
said. Lexi busy, question mark. Yeah.
Even I liked Alexa because I liked her performance in it. But even her great. Role in it was still questionable because it seemed like what they were trying to do there was call back to the John Cena stuff where they're like, oh, this is mm-hmm. a part of his past. This is something his character had in his past. But the Alexa Braun stuff was never fully explored and it was kind of cut off at the knees after Mixed Match Challenge. It was like, it seemed like maybe he's crushing on her a little bit and then it just went away.
And it so doesn't work when it's hard, with John, yeah. It works because he's been with the company for so long and because we know that he is clearly, he comes around from WrestleMania, he doesn't come around anymore. He's clearly retired. He doesn't fucking do this anymore. He comes around because
he's too busy taking
his
shirt off on John Oliver, okay? Like, he's got stuff to do.
And you know, and thank Christ. But, like, it's, that's the reason why that works. You can do a career retrospective when someone's career is basically overdoing that thing. It doesn't work as well when it's someone who was like Braun's like brand fucking new, like in wrestling timeline.
He's had enough big stories that they could have constructed something similar that goes like, here's why you've been so I mean, really the story of Braun Strowman is his, you could paint his entire run as a disappointment. He was a tag team champion with a fucking child.
Yeah, where was Nicholas? Where was Nicholas in this match?
He couldn't put
away...
Was
his daddy Firmo? Was his dad Firmo? We don't know.
Maybe his daddy was Firmo. I mean, Nicholas maybe. Is available. He is on summer break.
Actually,
I'm just saying.
Was furloughed.
He came up short in every championship opportunity until an empty arena WrestleMania match. That
was
last minute because...
Last minute.
Yeah. So, like, there is a story to tell there. That they just, like, there's just no, the storytelling's not there. If the storytelling isn't there, and you don't care about the people, then it's the same issue.
And it is still
doesn't
too
matter
soon
what you
to
do
it. It's still too soon to do a career retrospective breakdown match on a man whose career has just been a lame duck, but he's a big fella. You know? It could have been fun, and it wasn't fun.
Well, if you have any thoughts on boats or swamps or any of the things we've discussed, connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Discord via the links in our show notes. We'll be back after this with some things from the wrestling world that you should know about. This is Tights and Fights.
Hey, I'm Janet Varney, host of the JV Club podcast. Ah, high school. Was it a time of adventure, romance, and discovery?
Class of 95, we did it!
Or a time of angst, disappointment, and confusion?
We're all tied together by 4 years of trauma at this place, but enjoy adulthood, I guess.
The truth is, it was both. So join me on the JV Club podcast, where I invite some great friends like Kristen Bell, Angela Kinsey, Oscar Nunez, Neil Patrick Harris, and Keegan-Michael Key to talk about high school, the good, the bad, and everything in between.
My teenage mood swings are getting harder to manage.
The JV Club. Find it on Maximum Fun.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by...
Daniel Radford.
And...
Lindsay Kalk.
This week, we will end the show by sharing some of the joy of wrestling with you. This is The Three Count. Danielle, what would you like to put over?
RJ City is the internet's boyfriend. I think we're all okay with knowing that by now. RJ City, for those of you who don't know, he's a very, very sweet boy out of Canada. And
Danielle's a heel now. Don't call him sweet.
Sorry,
he's a heel.
He's a bad person. He's a bad man.
Thank you.
Who is bad. And he will, sorry, RJ, he'll probably yell at me about calling him nice soon. But so he had a whole tete-a-tete. Is that what you call it?
A tete-a-tete.
Versus Randy Orton. It wasn't really Randy. It wasn't really versus, I guess. It actually turned out to be really cute, and both of them came out better for it, and it was really, really weird. So RJ, and these are all a bunch of tweets. I'll read some of them. So RJ was like, stop asking when I'm going to be in a wrestling video game. Maybe ask the video game companies when they're going to pay a deserved price I'm going to assume he said deserved and not deserved, for my charismatic likeness compared to every other bloated asshole on their rosters. And then Randy Orton, who I don't know how he saw this tweet, tweeted, question, am I a bloated asshole? Seriously, want to know. If I am, then please guide me to a professional nutritionist. And then RJ, Randy, this is, I think he's now doing role play.
I am Randy. Slightly concerned, Danielle, that this is just me and you having a giggling conversation about how much we love RJ and reading his messages out to each other.
Yeah, no, this is what it is. That's how I'm playing it. Randy opens the fridge, the words of my tweet still whirling in his head. Again, I don't know that he said whirling, but I've decided
he
to put that extra
stink
out.
Whirling.
He looks at the leftover pastrami sandwich and speaks softly. Hey, nothing you can say. Nothing's going to change what you've done to me. Now it's time to shine. Gonna take what's mine. Take what's mine. And then Randy Orton, wow, at the Matt Cordona is right. You really are an asshole. No, I can't get that stupid tune out of your head. They're flirting at this point, right?
This is like, flirting. This is 100%. Next thing's gonna be a DM that's just like, hey, so like the next time you're in Florida, we should like maybe get milkshake.
Hey, when are you coming to Florida? I know it's like full of the plague or whatever.
And you're in Canada where it's safe.
Come down to Florida. But,
I mean, it's beautiful. The tension rising is like, this Batista and Dana Brooke.
It was really pure. And I don't, I'm going to start putting up here. I will record it later. I have a whiteboard. I'm going to start, and we're going to start from today, just to be fair. And I'm going to put days since Randall has fucked up. I'm literally writing that on my whiteboard. And so we're going to count it as today because we don't want to be unfair. And so right now it is at 0, and then tomorrow I'll change it to 1, and I will keep doing that. And we'll keep checking in as the weeks go to see what day he's at since he's fucked up.
You know, if you want to give him extra credit, you could backdate it to the day he said Black Lives Matter.
I'm not doing that. I'm not giving him extra credit. I'm just calling it as
now. His past actions have deleted his ability to claim past credit.
Yeah, no.
Lindsay.
I just want to keep reading the rest of those tweets, which culminate in Randy asking if RJ would like him to put a word in for him at NXT, which is beautiful. But what I'm also going to put over woke wrestlers, because it's my new favorite thing, is woke wrestlers. And I really wanted to give a shout out to my beloved baby boys, the FTR, Dax and Cash. That's their names now. And they did an interview in which they touched on the Black Lives Matter movement and their involvement and how they raised a bunch of money, which was great. And just really talking about the things that we should all be talking about and we have talked about, which is becoming anti-racist rather than just saying I'm not a racist. They talked a lot about how they were ignorant, and they talked a lot about how, you know, they come from the South and things were a certain way. And I think the line that really made me joyous was when they said we weren't taught to hate, but we weren't taught not to hate.
That was really good.
And recognizing that in yourself, I think, is a really powerful thing, because that means you gotta go and take steps to make change yourself.
Yeah, like hardcore inventory.
I think they're doing that, and they talked a lot about their friendship with New Day, obviously, as a touchstone, as how they were able to look at themselves and say, hey, what aren't we doing, not what are we doing, but what aren't we doing. It made me so happy, those sweet Southern boys. I loved it. I loved it so much. And I do love them. I mean, I don't tell lies. I do love them. They smell good. I met them and interviewed them, and I like touching them, but in a consensual fashion. So I was excited to see this from them. It made me very happy.
Nice. I want to pick up that thread. I have one non-wrestling and one wrestling thing. The non-wrestling thing is I want to put over Tobias Harris and Mike Scott of the Philadelphia 76ers, who on every single post-practice press session say, we're going to answer every single question by calling for the arrest of Breonna Taylor's murderers.
Yay.
And whatever you at, like, we respect that you have a job to do and you have questions you have to ask us, but every single answer I give to every single question you ask, no matter what it is going to be calling for their arrest.
Insanity.
On the wrestling side, did you know that former Super Bowl champion punter Pat McAfee has a talk show, and that Adam Cole has been on his show, and that recently they had a fun Andy Kaufman, David Letterman moment where Adam Cole lost his shit and beat up a microphone. Here's a clip.
I was the longest reigning NXT champion of all time. And guess who did that all by themselves? Oh, that's right, me. Did it all by myself.
No, don't believe that. We've watched the takeovers, Adam. The Undisputed Era is the main reason why you've succeeded. But by the way, smart. That's good business. Hey, that's business, that's baby. Business. That's very smart. Yeah. Well, and especially for you, because, you know, you're kind of small.
Oh, we're going to go with the size thing now.
Fuck you, Pat. Whoa. Seriously, I'm sick of your shit. I come the whole way here, take time away from my family to come to do your stupid fucking show. And you're going to continue to disrespect me. Don't touch me.
Whoa. Whoa.
Fuck you, Pat. Fuck you.
No, fuck you. Get out of here.
He's already gone.
I love it.
Oh, work me, daddy.
Work me, daddy.
Work me so hard. I saw so many people saying it couldn't possibly be a work because Adam Cole dropped some F-bombs. And I'm like, I don't know, you guys.
So good.
It's, of course, it's a work. Oh, my God.
It's a work. Look, but I like it so much.
If you want to know the greatest thing that happened in pro wrestling this week, you just fucking heard it.
They literally, I love the idea that people are like, he cussed, so it couldn't possibly be a work, as though him cussing on TV and not him being completely disrespectful and being kicked off of a TV show or whatever show would be more upsetting to WWE brass. I'm so confused.
Love it.
That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Danielle Radford and Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Lublin. This is the time. There's nothing else I want you to do other than support Lindsay by buying her book.
Buy her book, you guys!
And then support the network so she can continue to host the show. Those are the two things. MaximumFun.org/join, but more importantly, Lindsay Kelk's new book. Lindsay, tell us about it.
You're very kind. I have a book, and it's out. Yay!
Yay!
And it's called In Case You Missed It, and it's a rom-com, and it's heavy on the com, and there is still some rom. But it's good, I think. It's a fun story that is for our times because it's about a lady who is back in her life after some time away working abroad and has to kind of figure out how to get her life going again when she kind of just wishes she could go back to how things were. But you can't ever do that. So let's... Yep, exactly. Danielle's laughing through her tears. So read this book and find out how to move forward. Also, like, lols. Lols are plenty. And there's a couple of wrestling references in there because there always are. So that's just for you guys.
Yeah, Lindsay Kelk is high-key, one of the best fucking living romance authors. That's just true. I am lucky to have that person as one of my favorite people, but she just simply is. Because she's really funny, and it's going to be, and it's really good, and she's very good at both being able to craft a story and making you laugh your dick off while she does so. She has a bunch of books, so go buy any of them. There's the iHeart series, there's One in a Million. If you have a kid, there's Cinders and Sparks. Go buy any of her books, buy all of them. She's great and amazing, and you could do worse.
My new blurb.
You will
for
lose
every
your dick, guaranteed.
That's going to be on the front cover of every book. You will laugh your dick off. I'm putting it on everything. Thank you, Danielle.
Yes.
You're going to put that dick back on.
Please blurb me, this person that no one has heard of.
It gets five bobbits because it completely, you laugh your own dick off. You laugh your own dick off. It's what happens. That's a rating system. I didn't create it. Anyway. Our producer has the honor to be your obedient servant, J.Burr, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and also Discord. Links to all of those are in our show notes. And if you love what we do, now is the time, more than ever, to become a Max Fun member. But if you are not in a financial position to do that, hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. But I do want to give a special thanks to all of the Max Fun members who have been supporting us day one and who have joined or upgraded during Max Fun Drive.
Day one.
We really appreciate it. You literally make this show possible. And hey, if you want to make new clothing for yourself possible, why not get our t-shirt? You can do that. That's a thing you can do. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
gonna start, Hal. I'm gonna start. I'm warming up. I'm warming up.
Do
la,
it.
La la la
start
la
it.
La.
Ma.
It's Max Fun Drive time. Have we mentioned that? We're gonna mention it again because it's really, really, really important. We are so grateful for you, our members. We could not make the show without you. There is no two ways about that. It is a fact. Without your monthly recurring donations, there is no Tights and Fights, and we cannot thank you enough for it. We have a ton of membership options for you to join in if you are in a position to contribute to the show. You can join for $5, $10, $20. Pretty much you can join for any monetarily value that you have available to you. And we will gratefully take every dollar and give you giant hugs for all of it.
But you'll get gifts. That's the best part. That's why you do it during the drive. Look, you can support us anytime you want, and you are welcome to, and we would appreciate it. But this is the time where we try to go the extra mile to show you how much we appreciate your support of the things you appreciate that we do, which is why we, I'm going to reveal this live on this episode. You're the first people to hear this. We will be, at some point over the next couple weeks, doing a live watch-along of Money Plane.
The greatest movie ever made.
Where your dreams come true. Here's how you get in on all the fun and join Max Fun if you are able. You go to MaximumFun.org/join. You enter your credit card information to set up your recurring monthly contribution. But the most important part to us, if you want your support to come to our show directly, is they're going to ask you what shows you listen to. Be honest. Check as many boxes as you want for as many shows as you listen to. But make sure to include us there, because every show that you check off benefits directly from your contribution. So make sure you do that. Go to MaximumFun.org/join. You can join for as little as $5 a month. You can boost if you don't want to go 5 to 10 if you're an existing member, but you can go 5 to 7. Then you can do that. For the first, this is the first year we've ever done this. It's really, really exciting. And as always, we just appreciate the hell out of your support.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.